coughed, gagging on the double dose, then calmed strangely, muscles relaxing, and a great, peaceful calm washed over the man.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. The pain is gone.
Gone forever. I gave you a shot of pure quill jolt, enough to kill 6 men. There will be no more pain. Ever.
Already in a dreamy state, his eyes glazed as the wild drug mixture took him on a private, lethal journey.
Why?
I don't torture people.
The man's face was ashen, his pulse racing over 90. Mildred knew he wouldn't last much longer. Nobody could with that much of the hellish drug coursing through his shattered body. But that was the only amount large enough to do any good. Even in the redoubt, she hadn't encountered morphine or ether. Pain was a part of life these days, as inescapable as Deathlands itself.
Torture?
You're already dead. No sense in making you suffer.
I would have.
Yes, I know.
She dampened a cloth and washed the sweat from his face. A shudder shook the man, his eyes rolling backward until only the white showed. Mildred started to reach out, but there was nothing more she could do. Even with the facilities of a full pre-dark hospital, the physician didn't believe he could have been saved. The tiny .22 caliber rounds reflected off bones, piercing vital organs, in a wild orgy of destruction before exiting. Youth and rage had carried Overton this far, but even those were failing now. She removed her blaster and laid it out of his reach. If things get any worse, then she would end the matter as fast and as painless as possible.
Pay debts. Always pay debts. Nothing free.
Overton clawed weakly at the cron on his wrist. Mildred helped him to remove it, thinking he meant to give the watch to her as payment for the drug. But as it came free, he tossed the device away and slumped. Confused, she glanced at the strip of bare white flesh on the tanned arm. There was a small tattoo there.
Dear God in heaven! Ryan, get down here!
A minute later, Ryan sauntered in, sucking stew right out of the MRE envelope.
Need some help?
Christy appeared beside the man.
Clem would be happy to shoot him some more.
Look at his wrist.
In no apparent hurry, the Deathlands warrior and the Titian-haired beauty came closer, then paused, their faces altering into total shock. The number 352 was tattooed on his pale skin in black ink.
The code to open the doors of a redoubt.
Ryan dropped the military ration pack. Her hair fanning out, Christy turned and drew her blaster, making sure that nobody else was close enough to hear the conversation. A brown shirt was coming their way, and she leveled the weapon.
Sorry, private conversation. Baron stuff, you understand.
The sec man nodded and limped away. Ryan leapt into the crate and knelt next to the dying man.
Where did you get that number? Who told you? Do you know about the special room with 6 walls and only 1 door?
The jump room.
Overton smiled dreamily.
Oh, sure. How we got here. Lots of blasters, you know. Going to save America. Kill all the muties from above.
From above? What did that mean? Ryan ground his teeth in frustration. This news turned their victory into a complete disaster. The secret of the redoubts was out, as was the access code to enter the pre-dark installations. But it seemed that Overton kept the code a secret from his own men. They might know the redoubts existed, but not how to get inside. That was something. But how had he learned the code? Where? And from whom?
Mildred, save him. We have to know where he got this information.
She shook her head.
Nothing can save him at this point.
Ryan started to grab the man by the throat, and Mildred blocked his hands, shaking her head.
That wouldn't do any good. He doesn't even know where he is.
Where?
Overton worked his mouth as if speaking, but no sound came out. The physician leaned closer, holding her ear only inches away from his blue lips.
Shiloh.
He's dead.
Mildred sat erect and closed his eyelids with her fingertips. Knuckles white, Ryan could only shake with repressed fury.
He knew. Redoubts, the codes, everything.
So what do we do?
First, burn that number off his skin.
Ryan started to leave. Then he paused to glance at the dead man.
After that, we're going to Shiloh.
A crisp, clean dawn was breaking over Front Royal as a tall man in loose clothing wandered over the drawbridge. Busy sec men armed with fancy blasters gave him a cursory inspection before returning to their work. Inside the walls of the ville, the dead and the dying lay everywhere, and a dank haze hung over the streets, a mixture of morning mist and smoke from a burning building. A white hare was sweeping colored bits of glass off the cobblestones. More were dragging the corpses of horses into the rear of a wag. A child cried somewhere, and a woman wailed in heartbroken grief. Shuffling along, a very tired-looking sec man with his arms full of bandages hurried by the newcomer, and the man stayed the trooper with a grip of iron. The brown shirt cried out,
"Hey! Watch it, asshole! I almost dropped these, and we need them for the wounded!"
The tall man apologized, removing a hat, showing his strangely bald head.
"Oh, I'm truly sorry, sir, but my name is Lissman. Daniel Lissman, a trained healer. Can I be of service here?"
Two centuries after the nuke cost, consolidation of power is the goal for those who would rule the slowly emerging New America. Ryan's quest to destroy a secret plot to unite the East Coast baronies under one totalitarian rule brings his intrepid band of survivors to Tennessee. The conspiracy thread leads back to the specter of the anthill and a superweapon from pre-dark days, as radio waves manipulating the environment and the human brain imperil size-sensitive Christie. Ryan challenges an old foe to a daring showdown for America's survival. Deathlands 47, Gaia's Demise. Available now from Cutting Audio. Deathlands Gemini Rising is a Cutting Audio production. Copyright 2004, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan with Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, and Thomas Penny. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. If you enjoyed Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.cuttingaudio.com, where you'll find samples of all our action-pumped titles, as well as free screensavers, ringtones, and games. Keep listening for an excerpt from another Cutting Audio thriller after these announcements.
Lock and load and hit the road. More blood and guts from Cutting Audio. Outlanders.
Grant wrenched the wheel violently, and the wag inscribed a swerving, zigzagging course. Bridget fell against the bulkhead, banging the back of her head painfully on the metal wall. Pushing herself upright, blinking the pain haze from her eyes, she looked frantically to the left and right, trying to spot the origin of the fire. Even as she twisted in her seat, she glimpsed the fiery, sparking contrail of a projectile arrowing on a direct course with their starboard side. The missile skimmed just beneath the war wag's chassis through the space between two track assemblies.
Whoever they are, they're trying to take out the tracks to disable us.
The triphammer roar of the turret-mounted RPK filled the MCP with an eardrum-slamming stutter. Grant activated the transceiver.
"Cease fire! We don't have targets! Cease fire!"
Faintly over the din, they heard Sky Dog repeating Grant's order in Lakota.
"K-9, Can you see anybody?
The wag hit a deep rut in the ground, and the